listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start on a football Friday in the NFL, but we go to the beginning of week 15, which was Thursday night football, and it was all Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Baltimore, a 42-21 win over the Jets last night.
True enough, covered. Bad day for the bookies, which I like. I like when they feel pain. And it was an easy one. This baby opened up, what, 14?
14 and a half.
And up to 17?
Yep.
Also, first half one, first quarter one. I don't know if Jonas wants to mention another winner here for the hundreds of thousands across the country. But we won't make a big deal about that. That's what we're supposed to do. But not this much. Let's be candid. It's been a great season. Lamar Jackson, 5 touchdowns. It's got the conversation started. MVP. Now, before the season, it was like, MVP? What are you talking about? That's crazy. Before the season, odds on Lamar Jackson MVP?
100-1.
100-1. So if I would have bet a dollar, I could have won 100.
Yep.
$100, 10,000.
Yep.
That's interesting. 100 would have won you 10,000. What are the current odds, Lamar Jackson, to win the not the Heisman, he done that, the MVP?
Minus 2,500.
Holy cow. So that means $25 wins you a dollar.
Yep.
So guys, think about this. I love these. If you had bet $100, as we said before the season, it would have won you $10,000. If you bet $100 today, it'd win you $4.
Can't even afford a $5 foot long.
$4. Unbelievable. So you could either won $10,000 or $4. It's all about timing, baby. That's what they say about life. Now, let's talk about the Ravens. How good are they? So, Steve Fezzik, you do the power ratings. Best numbers in Vegas, in my opinion. Right now, where are the Ravens?
They are number one in the NFL. 2 points better in my power ratings than any other NFL team.
2 points better. Now, you have done your power ratings for about a decade where you've made them public. How's the Ravens number? Let's say we were doing some time shifting. How would they have done against Team XYZ from the past? How's their number relative to, let's say, typical number one teams late in the season?
2 points better than my typical best team in the NFL.
Wow. But it's not like the best team of the decade.
No, but I got to go back. They are approaching it, RJ. I've got my power rings. I went back the last 5 years, and Baltimore is as high this late in the year as any team I've had the past 5 years.
That's impressive and kind of surprising to me because what was it? 3 weeks ago is when they finally took over first?
Yes.
So they went from not the best team this year, a couple weeks later, one of the best teams of the decade.
Yeah, let's face it, this past 5 to 6 week run where they have just been on an incredible roll, winning, covering all but one game. Back on November 20th, I only had the Ravens 6.5 points better than the average team. I've upgraded them 3 points since.
And I think it's justified. And I also think that even if you would have adjusted the Ravens earlier, I would have thought you were wrong. And I would still look back in hindsight and say you were wrong, even though it ended up being right. And here's what I mean. The only reason to really be super confident about the Ravens beyond what we were 3 or 4 weeks ago, it wasn't the continuation of the offense being good, though to some degree it reinforces it. But I think most people accepted the Ravens offense was mighty good.
Yep.
The defense was the issue. This was a team that had a clearly, the Ravens, below average defense, below average. And now, and it wasn't just, oh, arbitrarily one day they started playing well, traded for Peters from the Rams, and also their cornerback Smith, healthy after being out extended period. So you took from no really good corners to two, and it seemed to make all the difference.
Yeah, they're giving up over 6 yards per play, and now Baltimore is giving up less than 5.5, so less than the league average despite starting... Less than 5.6 yards per play, the league average. So even with a horrible start to the year, that defense is now significantly better than the average team.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Where would you rank their defense 1 to 32, the Ravens?
I think I'd put it right around 9th.
And the offense?
2nd.
All right, so 1 and 9. Seems like a team that's one of the better teams of the decade are better than 1 and 9 or let's say 2 and 9. It feels like maybe that offense could be. I get what are you thinking? Mahomes and Kansas City?
Yes, exactly. And remember, Mahomes and Kansas City last year, they were number one on offense, number 26 in defense, and they were still a top three team. The offense is so much more important in today's NFL than the defense.
No, that, I agree with that. Football Outsiders does a 4-3 split, 4 units to 3. Maybe it should be more these days. The Patriots, who were number one, they have a really good defense and a very questionable offense. So just off the cuff, number one defense for the Pats?
Yes.
And offense?
Below average.
18, let's call them 18?
Yes.
All right, so if we just did the simple 18 and 1, you get 19, and that would be like, the weight, lower number is better for the Pats. And if we did the Ravens, we're saying 1 and 9. So, it's making sense. They're clearly better. And you don't have the Pats number 2, though, right? Who do you got?
I do not. Number 2 is Kansas City in my power ratings. San Francisco, number 3.
And then Pats 4?
Yes.
Okay. So, Brad, if we looked at the Super Bowl odds, it would make sense if the Ravens were favored.
They are certainly the favorite. Right now, the Baltimore Ravens plus 225. $100 wins you 225 right now in the Ravens.
Wow. So that's about a low of a favorite or big as a favorite as you'll see this time of year, right?
Correct.
I mean, even the Pats, when they've had some really good years, it was in that 2-1 range. Wow. So think about that, Joan. This is literally a month ago, the Ravens weren't the best team in the eyes of Vegas. And obviously that win against the Pats was kind of the opening salvo of we are the best team. And now we're talking about Super Bowl odds for the Ravens that are so good that they're borderline historic. We're talking power ratings, borderline historic. From the fans' perspective, is it an overreaction? Were we too slow? What do you think?
I think I get why the odds are going the way that they're going based on the fact that Baltimore's the only team in the NFL that's continuously gotten better each week, it seems, to where every team sort of has these dips or these, and Baltimore's lost a couple of games this year, but they've seemed like they've gotten better, especially after about the first month and a half of the season. Every single week, they look even more dominant.
I agree, and I also would make the following case. If you think about a bad game, what's the anatomy of a bad game for a good NFL team? Usually interceptions.
Yeah.
Right? You're usually the good teams. What's the last really good team that wasn't throw first? I'm not even sure. I mean, you usually have like the third or fourth best team will be that defensive team, like the Bears last year. They just don't ever seem to get to be the best team.
Yeah.
We've got this year, Ravens are not, run first. We have a lot of questions about can Lamar stay healthy the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? But how do they lose a game? And I'm not saying it's impossible for them to lose, but I can see how the Patriots lose even throughout the last 10 years. Brady, they're getting pressure on him. Brady makes a couple of bad throws. Doesn't happen often, but I can see it happening. Or their defense is just slow against the Eagles, and it's just a shootout, and they lose the shootout. If the Ravens' D is what it seems to be, that kind of D is usually not going to give up 35 or 40. How don't the Ravens score 30-plus in a game they're really focused on? Man, I mean, I guess there could be a bunch of fumbles, but fumbles are so much less common than interceptions. It just feels like in a weird way, they have a high-powered offense, the Ravens, but they also have a low-variance offense, an offense where the lows, the really bad games are going to happen less often. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the only way that the Ravens get in trouble is if Lamar Jackson is not 100%, if he gets compromised, and he is not compromised.
Yeah, but there's no team in football that can lose their quarterback and that not be the problem.
Yeah, fair enough, and I'm not seeing him being banged up at all. He looks as fast as he did week one, and I have to tell you, RJ, his field vision is incredible. How do you stop this guy? He rushes to the line of scrimmage. You know he's about to run for 20 yards, and he can stop on a dime. He's still looking downfield and make the throws. Wow, is that difficult to stop?
That's what we're seeing for sure, the difficulty of that. And another time, a less busy day, we can talk about how he got drafted with the 32nd pick. Because obviously, if there were a redraft, there'd be a new number one pick
yeah,
out there.
You think?
No doubt about it.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pick Palooza time here on Straight Outta Vegas, and we start in Detroit, where the Buccaneers are a 4-point favorite at the Lions.
Yeah, Steve, you really uncovered something, because if you look at Blau and his stats over two games, your response would be, huh, okay, not great, decent. But no.
Yeah, so David Blau looked great against the Bears in the first quarter, put up 14 points. Since then, the next seven quarters, only 13 points for Blau and the Lions.
So one quarter, first quarter, he had never played an NFL regular season game. Boom, boom, 14. And then seven quarters, almost two games later, 13 points. You got to give him credit for those 14, but man, oh man, now that you got seven with him getting shut down, Blau's stats are deceivingly good.
To the NFC East we go, where the Eagles are a 5.5-point favorite at the Redskins.
I only allow Fez one injury team a week because, you know, reading the injury report just is not fascinating. But this one, this team, the Eagles, ooh-ah.
Yeah, Eagles very likely to be down their top three wide receivers once again. Of course, Action Jackson is out. Jeffrey is out, Aguilar unlikely to play, and the Eagles without their left tackle, Lane Johnson. He's their best lineman.
And cluster injuries, explain that concept.
Yeah, so the idea is that any one of these wide receivers, not all that important, but the selective value of all three being out is huge. Now we've got practice squad guys out there that Wentz has to throw to.
And I think that's the key point, is if Jonas is gone, yeah, we're missing his... is it dulcet tones? How do they say that, John?
Well, past couple of days, no. But normally, yes.
Yeah, but we could get by. Not quite as good, but if Jonas and RJ was gone, we'd be...
I don't want to listen to that show. We'd be off the air.
We'd be at Waikiki, the rest of the island. There'd be all kind of questions like that. So it's the same thing in football. You have one guy out, it might be the best guy, but... the second guy isn't all that bad. But when you're signing guys off the street, that's where the trouble starts, and I think that's where the Eagles are.
The Packers are 4-point favorites hosting the Bears.
We had a new segment that really got a ton of positive feedback yesterday, which was the Vegas truth, us saying, this team, Vegas is telling you, is bad. This team is good, even though it's not obvious that Vegas feels that way. Man, here's some truth here. The Packers are overrated. On the season, Green Bay, what's their record, Fez?
10-3.
10-3 has been outgained on the season. And you can say, well, you know, there was these comeback yards in this one game and Dallas had some yards against them. Nah, over the season, a good team should outgain their opposition. Green Bay hasn't. Green Bay is not a good team.
Patriots at the Bengals, New England, 10-point favorites.
Bill Belichick is a pretty good coach. All right, that's it. No. but how do you tell a good coach? Oftentimes, there's certain spots where good coaches shine. One of them is off a loss. Belichick is outstanding in his career, or with the Patriots specifically. Off a loss, over 60%. Actually, since the Super Bowl, first Super Bowl they won, 66%. Off a loss.
Wow.
But off of two losses, how do they do, Brad?
Really well, RJ. In fact, off two straight losses, the Patriots, 10-0 straight up. They win those games by 20 points per game. For our purposes against the spread, Pats 8-2, and they're covering by 15 points per game.
So 10-0, even with good margins, or 8-2 against the spread, I'm not going to go overboard with. But when you have it backed up by 15 years of winning 2 of 3 against the spread when you lose even one game,
yep.
I'm not saying bet the Pats blind, but I certainly wouldn't bet against them.
It's a battle for the AFC South where the Titans are 3-point favorites hosting the Texans.
You know, on our podcast, and you can just search RJ Bell for that one, it's called The Dream Preview, and you can also subscribe right here to Straight Out of Vegas. 2 for 1. Fez was really taken to the woodshed on his Tennessee, because last week he was telling us how Tennessee was overrated. It was deceiving. This week he was saying, man, Tennessee's good. And I was skeptical, but I listened, and he made a point, and I want to make it for him. Tennessee 6-1, last 7. You could say the following, though. In fact, Steve did. But 3 of those wins was by 4 points or less. So the Titans could reasonably be 3-4 their last 7. That is true. If they had lost those games, they literally, instead of winning close ones, it's a coin flip. But here's something else you could say, and I think this is more close to the truth. Closer to the truth, some would say. They've won 4 in a row by an average margin of over 2 touchdowns per game. So if you blend this streak, Fez's take last week is correct. If you look at the trend line, it was from losing to winning games close to now dominating games. To me, that's different.
Seahawks at the Panthers. Seattle, a 6.5-point favorite.
Most of the time when a coach is fired, there's a perking up of the team. There's a sense of, uh-oh, substitute teacher's gone. This guy might actually be the permanent teacher next year. I better get my spitballs and set them in my pocket. But with Carolina, the market, Vegas said, nah, we're fading this change. I thought it made sense. Fez, after watching the game, man, I think we understand why.
Yeah, Atlanta puts up 40 points on Carolina, and by all reports, all the players really liked Ron Rivera. I'm not going to say it was a complete revolt, but the effort was not there last week, and the money poured in against Atlanta before the game, and the money was right.
Wow, I disagree with you. I thought you were going to say something different. Boy, you're just missing this one left and right. It's not about a love for Rivera. This is business. You think there's, we won't get to go fishing with him anymore. It's the fact that the owner, in my opinion, is cleaning house. He's making it clear. And I thought it was like, okay, well, the assistant coaches know they're going to be gone. Okay. Then I thought, and I was listening to FS1, and it was like they made a really good point. They said, a former player said, every coach has about 8 or 10 guys. It's his guys. And in those marginal spots on the roster where no one's all that much better than anyone else, they have their guys. So Riverboat Ron had his guys. They're not going to be the next coach's guys. So now you've got 8 or 10 players, maybe more, thinking, uh-oh, I might not have a spot on this roster. And then, and this I just heard today, they're making statements, the brass for Carolina, that this is going to be a long rebuilding period. What does that mean? That means some of the stars might get traded. So there's as much tumult with the Panthers, and a piece of it maybe is nostalgia for Ron, but I think it's more they're worried about their money, and I think their money is probably as uncertain and disrupted as any NFL team I've seen in a while. I mean, if you think of the changes that's going to happen with the Panthers in the next 6 months, it's probably as many changes, at least we expect, as any team in the last 5 years. That has the team, you know, quite frankly, distracted. I think you cannot play Carolina.
The Chiefs are 10-point favorites hosting the Broncos.
This lock was one of the... I thought it was a lock. Lock wouldn't be very good, to be honest with you. And man, I thought we were so right. First game, had a pretty decent first half.
Yeah, so Locke throws for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half. Thumbs up.
But then in the second half, catastrophe.
Yeah, Locke only throws for 11 yards and an interception. 11 yards. Not one completion. That's the whole half. 11 yards.
And my thought was they actually figured him out at halftime? Because usually it takes these rookies, the coaches, a couple games. But then the shocker last week.
Yeah, so if you look at Drew Lock's QBR, 98.6 unadjusted, it would rank only Lamar Jackson has had a higher QBR of any quarterback in any game this year. Drew Lock put up a top four performance.
Yeah, with the raw QBR, top four performance from a second start. Is no guarantee he's going to be a starter or anything, but man, it far exceeded expectations. And if you're the Broncos wondering about motivation, well, potentially having your future quarterback is going to excite everybody.
Dolphins at the Giants, New York, a 3-point favorite.
I like the Dolphins here. I bet the Dolphins, but I did it. In fact, the whole crew here, the Wise Guy Roundtable, did it in a unique way. We believe Eli is going to energize the home Giants crowd for a while. Let's call it the first quarter. But then I like the Dolphins in the second, third, and fourth. So you know what we did? We bet them in the second quarter, in the third quarter, and in the fourth quarter for about a third of a unit on each game or each quarter. So once again, if you identify where you have an edge and where you don't, with the modern betting, you can find different ways to get at it. We did second, third, and fourth quarter on the Dolphins.
It's the Bills at the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Pittsburgh, a 1-point favorite on pregame.com.
Pittsburgh's winning. Give them credit. I'm a fan, no doubt about it. But man, oh man, they cannot throw the ball. They cannot throw the ball. And literally, it's been four straight games that Pittsburgh has not thrown for 200 yards.
Wow.
Four straight games, only 16 attempts from the duck last game. So expect running. Oh, by the way, Buffalo, good defense, not that good of a rush defense.
In their last home game in Oakland, the Raiders are 6.5-point favorites hosting the Jaguars.
Oh, it's historic.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
I tell you, being in Vegas, the excitement for the Raiders fans, the Raiders team, we're hearing from the beat writers and stuff, is strong. I believe this is the least discussed big factor of the week. I know people are talking about it, but I think it's gigantic. And I also think I'll give you another bet. I like the Raiders in the first half. Usually when home field, when there's such excitement like this, it's at the front of the game. We see it in the NBA, teams down 0-2, that third game, the crowd's going crazy. But you know what can happen? In football, you can get fatigued, emotionally drained for that second half. We've already bet the Raiders laying 3. I think it's more towards 3.5 now in the first half. I like both of them, though.
And finally, the Vikings are at the Chargers. Minnesota is a 1.5-point favorite.
You know, Fez, I don't even want to talk the Chargers. If you know what would be great? It would cost too much. I bet if we took every clip of you in the last 4 years talking about the Chargers and just would then deadpan have Jonas go, and then on September 27th, 2016, Fezzik said this. And then it would be like the same freaking thing for 4 years. So one more, please. Reprise.
So the Chargers are a statistical darling. I know they're 5-8, RJ, but if you look at their underlying stats, they're a team that really should be 8-5 with any kind of reasonable luck. And the Chargers have gotten healthier on offense and defense. They are injured most of the year, and they've gotten most of those guys back.
Yep. You know what would be funny? If he actually went back to like 2016, 17, 18 and did a presentation verbatim, I think you might have right there. Here's the question. If the same freaking team with the same key players and mostly the same coach are unlucky for 4 or 5 straight years, I don't think it's luck.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Brad Powers, You have your best bet in the one, the guy with all the college knowledge, going college.
Yep, I'm going to go with Army plus the 10.5 as my best bet here. And for me, I love playing on double-digit underdogs with a low total. Why? There's going to be suppressed scoring, and you're getting a ton of points. If you look at it, the last 15 years in college football, you're playing on a double-digit underdog with a total of 43 or less. That's the case here. You'll be hitting 57% against the spread with a 300-game sample size, Army plus 10.5 for me.
Now, I'm confused. Is this just about the total? Is it like a blind play?
No, it's on top of that. You look at the series history. Since Army hired their head coach, Jeff Monken, he's very familiar with Ken Niumatalolo. He's the Navy head coach.
They served one more time.
Ken Niumatalolo.
Ooh.
So these guys served on a bunch of different staffs together, so there's a lot of familiarity. All five games have been decided by 7 points or less, the last five Army-Navy games.
So this is the game. So your best bet is?
Army plus 10.5.
Plus 10.5. The total in this game, there's a ton of interest in Vegas, and I'm going to be so contrarian. I don't think you can be more contrarian.
No, you can't.
So let's lay it out. Total in this game is?
You can find 39.5, RJ.
So we'll call it 40. Okay. I want to be generous. 40. Now, there's a perfect trend on the total Army-Navy.
Last 13 times Army and Navy have played, the under is 13-0, covering by 15 points per game. 13-0.
Now, this is a very important lesson, guys. You cannot bet trends unless you have someone you trust saying, hey, this is a trend to bet, or you understand what the odds, what the total, what the side, whatever it is, should be. So an example, in the NBA, the zigzag. The zigzag for many years in the early 2000s was a very profitable NBA playoff system in which if a team needed a win, they got a win more times than not. Then everyone started understanding the zigzag. And you know what happened? There'd be a team that would win, the home team, the first game. The line was 8. They'd win by 20. Oh, wow, they're better than we thought. You think it'd go to 8.5, right? No, 7.5, maybe 7. Why? The zigzag. So was the zigzag still working? Well, yes, the effect was still there, that a motivated team in the playoff series was going to do better. But the line got adjusted enough you couldn't bet it profitably. And that's why in Vegas, it's even tougher than talking heads. Talking heads just have to be right. We've got to be right. And the majority of people can't know we're right. If they do, it's going to adjust the line. This is what happened here. If you're just like a Steve Fezzik, you're going to go 13-0, give me the under. Is that correct, Steve?
Yes.
But if you're an RJ Bell, you say, wait a minute. I recall last year there was a big move and there was some discussion that maybe the market caught up. Then I heard 40. That's low. So, Brad, we did a little back of the napkin yesterday. What should the total in this game? It's 40. What should it be?
58.
Just based on the scoring of these two
teams? Scoring the two teams. And then we started comparing offense versus defense for both teams.
And the total is 40.
40.
Now, how many points a game before the market started adjusting did you say that 13-0 was covering by?
15.
And it's moved to 18.
Yep.
You know what that means? It means I'm bucking a 13-0 trend. Over 40 is a bonus best bet for me.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.